Our second scripture reading today comes from Paul's letters to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting them the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. And we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Loving God, would you speak to us today through the scriptures and this message so that we can have hope and inspire hope in others? We ask this through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're joining us for the first time today, we are wrapping up a series that we've been calling It's Personal. For the last several weeks, we've been introducing questions that we could ask to make life more personal. I think these questions have been a great reminder for us about how relationships actually are built, because don't we not always know how to, or not always try to get to know the people around us on a personal level? We're bombarded with information every day, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. I heard a stat that our cell phones are never more than 3 feet away from us. Isn't that right? There's school, and there's homework, and there's extracurriculars. There's work, and working out, and networking. There is travel, and volunteering, and doctor's visits. All this stuff, it keeps us going, doesn't it? It tells us that we're doing fine, that our lives are full, that we're doing okay. But are we? Are the people that you love, have you asked them lately? Many of us have lowered the bar on what it means to really know someone. We might know what they had for dinner last night because of social media, but do you know what they talked about over dinner? Many of us have settled for relationships that are a little too shallow. Now, I know you can't be best friends with everyone, and there are people that are not safe to trust with the heavy stuff. That's true. But maybe you're like me, and you settled for a lot of people who know you a little instead of a few people who know you a lot. And if you're anything like that, maybe you're ready to make life more personal. We believe that if we make life more personal, the world will be filled with more hope. Too many of us have settled for shallow versions of the relationships that God created us for. So if you're joining us for the first time or you're jumping in again, these are the questions we've been asking for how you would know if you're making life personal for someone. You'd be able to tell them their name. You'd know their name. You would know what matters to them. You would know what their context is, where they live, where they're from. You would know maybe some of the stuff they've done, maybe some of the stuff they're not proud of. And today we're wrapping it up with the question, do you know what I can do? If you're making life personal for someone, maybe you'd be able to answer that question for them. Now, I've been lucky. I've been a part of churches where pastors have known me and adults have helped raise me. And these people, they always knew what I could do, even if I didn't know it for myself. I've been lucky. Maybe this can happen other places, but for me, it's only ever happened in the church, where people knew what I could do, even when I didn't. Even when I was young, even when I still had so much to learn, they gave me a group of kids to be in charge of. or they handed me a microphone, or they put me in the pulpit as an 18-year-old. In college, they'd let me come back and teach them. In seminary, they'd let me come preach. My church made it personal for me. They made it personal, and they saw me like Jesus sees me. When we stop and see what someone is capable of right now, not once they go to school, not once they've grown up a little bit, not once they have more experience, but right now we see people like Jesus sees them. When we don't let things like someone's age or experience or gender or race or wealth or background stop us from seeing what someone can do right now, we see people like Jesus sees them. Throughout the series, we've been coming back to the story about Zacchaeus. As you can see, some of the kids remember it because he was short. That was what they remembered about it. Because he was short, he had to get up in the tree, right? The story about Zacchaeus just trying to get a peek at Jesus. And Jesus notices him. Jesus calls him by name and says, "Hey, I'm coming over for dinner." Zacchaeus had a job that nobody respected. Zacchaeus was dishonest in his business. Everyone expected Jesus to see Zacchaeus the way they did. But instead of seeing Zacchaeus as someone that you don't hang out with, or that you don't trust, or that you don't respect, Jesus saw Zacchaeus like God does. Jesus saw him like God sees us. Jesus saw Zacchaeus as being capable of something good right now, worth spending time with right now. If we want to make life more personal, we need to see others like Jesus sees them. You've heard us say this before, you've heard us talk about this before, but the rates of anxiety and depression in this country, for everybody, but especially for our young people, it should demand that we make life more personal for people, especially for our young people. It demands that we start seeing people more like Jesus does. Young people today describe being under constant pressure to succeed, to get good grades and get into good schools and choose successful careers. The picture of what they think their life has to look like is so clear that anytime they hit a road bump or have a failure or any kind of setback, it can be paralyzing. There's so much fear around failure that many young people find themselves stuck and anxious. I've heard anxiety described a lot of ways, but recently I heard one therapist describe it in an interview as that feeling that what is happening right now is not good enough. It's a feeling you can get stuck in. It's cyclical, and you can't get out of it. There's no progress. There's no forward movement. There is no good enough. There's just being stuck. If we want to make life more personal for the people in our lives, but especially our young people, then we need to not only be able to say what they can do now, but what they can still do after they've messed up, after they've failed, after they've hit some kind of setback. We all need people who remind us that we are good enough right now. We're good enough to do good. We're loved enough to love someone. We're forgiven enough to be able to change. We all need people around us who remind us that. We all need people who will stop and show up and remind us that. And it's not just young people. It's not, let's be honest, it's not just young people. My uncle bought a company last year, and he's done this before. He's bought companies before, but he bought a company, and all of a sudden he was hitting these setbacks. All the people he thought he could trust, he couldn't trust anymore. And before he knew it, he was in that cycle, not knowing when things were going to get better and when things were going to make progress. He was in that stuck cycle of anxiety. And so my dad's the oldest brother, this uncle is the youngest brother, and they're farm boys, so they get up very early. And my uncle had finally let my dad in on like what this stress was like and this pressure was like. And instead of my dad just like listening and saying, "Oh, that sounds hard," he knew he was making a trip to where this company was. He was going to be at the warehouse the next morning or whatever. And so early in the morning, it was still dark. The house was still dark. And my dad shows up in my uncle's driveway, and he just texts him, "Coffee?" question mark. And I'm sure my uncle confused said something about like, "Yeah, I'm making coffee now, and I'm going to get on the road," or whatever. And my dad's next response back was just, "When are we leaving? When are we leaving?" My dad didn't just listen to what was hard about that situation. My dad put himself in that situation too. He showed up and he said, "When are we leaving?" And then the two of them spent the whole day together, and he could kind of work out and verbalize some of those problems with my dad. We all need people who are willing to show up for us like that, personally like that. People who are going to say, "Okay, when are we leaving?" That's what Paul did. In the scripture today, we heard part of a letter about the Apostle Paul, who he wrote it to the church in Corinth. Now, Paul established the church in Corinth in person on a missionary journey, but then he had places to go and other churches to start, so they just wrote letters back and forth. That's how they stayed in touch. But the Corinthians struggled a little bit to make sense of this Jesus way of life and what the church was going to be organized like and how it was all going to work. So they had a lot of questions. And so they would write letters back and forth a lot. We have the 1 Corinthians, which is talking about a certain kind of issue, and then the collection of letters that came next, 2 Corinthians. And they would write letters back and forth trying to make sense of this life together. But the letters weren't doing it, and Paul had to show up again. So Paul goes back to Corinth. He made it personal for the Corinthians. The letter that we read today was after Paul had visited Corinth that second time in person, and they'd cleared up some of their misunderstandings. And by this point, Paul and the Corinthians, they just wanted to put all of their misunderstandings, their hurt feelings behind them. They wanted to make up. They wanted to reconcile. And so when we read Paul's words today, we should hear them as a little emotional and a little dramatic. The Apostle Paul had a lot of feelings. But Paul is emotional because Paul cares so much, because Paul made it personal. So when the Corinthians wrote to him that they want to make up, that they want to be on the same page, he's trying to convince them and remind these new believers that their new life started the moment they believed Jesus was worth following. He desperately wants them to understand that because of what Jesus did on the cross, they're not defined by their past or their failures or their regrets. Paul is urging them to believe that God is already writing a new story of hope. The authors of the book It's Personal, who inspired this series that we're preaching through, they write that everything about our faith suggests we can change. Paul's own testimony is all about change. But we don't always live like we believe it. We don't always live like we can change. We all need people in our lives who remind us that we're worth it even when we mess up. We need people who know what we can do and can still do even when we feel like we're getting it wrong all the time. God isn't waiting for you to be perfect to show up for you. God isn't going to let you determine your worth. No, God reminds you of your worth. God tells you who you are, and God says, "You matter." We forget this all the time, don't we? That's why we need these people around us, these people who care about us personally, to remind us that we matter. This came up in our tween small group last week. One of the kids said, "Yeah, it's like how in Harry Potter, Hagrid says, 'You're a wizard, Harry.' And Harry says, 'No, I'm Harry Potter.'" Don't we all have that feeling sometimes that we're just who we are and we are just stuck and we don't believe in this bigger possibility about who we are and what we can do? Don't we need someone else speaking into that reality? I think that's what Hagrid did for Harry Potter. I think that's what Pastor Josh does for me. I think that's what you all do for people in your lives, the people that you make it personal for. They need you to remind them who they are. Because if they don't have that voice, they will forget. And they'll believe they're their past mistakes. They'll believe they're their setbacks. And they'll be stuck. I think about those words that Bill read from the prophet Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God? When I think about those words and the young people today and maybe some of the people in your lives, I just think we have to assume, no, they don't know. They haven't heard. Because if we're not telling them, they're not going to know they're worth it. They're not going to believe in God's love for them if they don't hear it from you, from someone who knows them personally. Can I challenge us here today a little bit? No one gets to leave here thinking this is somebody else's job. It is not my job alone to love the teenagers in your life. It's not our job as a church alone to care for all the people in your life that you know might be sick or might be struggling. How could it possibly be anybody else's job but yours to make it personal for the people that you know and love? I think we do this all the time. We tell ourselves, well, somebody else has it. Someone's got that covered. And so we don't make the steps and ask the questions to make life personal for someone that we know. So that's my challenge. You don't get to leave here being like, the church has it. It's fine. Because what if we don't? You can't just think that they're going to talk about this stuff with their friends or that they've got great parents or they look happy. Because what if they aren't? And what if they don't? What if they're just really good at hiding their pain and covering up their loneliness? What if you believing they're okay is exactly what they want you to think? The Apostle Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ, and God is making his appeal through us. God made it personal through Jesus, and we are ambassadors. We're responsible for that good news getting out into the world. I'm going to tell you a secret. I don't even think you have to use Jesus' name when you do it. But if you show up and you make life more personal for someone, you give that someone hope. And when there's more hope in this life, then this life is more like heaven on earth. And so Jesus is full of all of it. Jesus is everywhere when we do that. What if someone in your life right now is waiting for you to be that someone that makes it personal? Did you know that this past Monday was National Suicide Prevention Day? Or that September is National Suicide Prevention Month? Did you know that? The 10th is set aside to remember those affected by suicide, to raise awareness, and to focus on helping people who need to get treatment so they can have hope. I've never actually paid attention to September as National Suicide Prevention Month because for me it was always April. Because on April 8th, 2004 is when I lost a friend to suicide. I was in eighth grade. Maybe you're like me and you know exactly what's at stake if we don't make life more personal. I promise, if you make life more personal for someone, if you see people like Jesus sees them, it will get messy. You might hear things you don't want to hear. You might now know things you wish you didn't know. You might not know what to say because the pain is just that unbearable. You might have wished you never asked in the first place. But because you did, someone else can have hope. And sometimes a little bit of hope and someone who believes in us is all it takes to start a new life. And Paul reminds us that because of Jesus, that new creation, that new life is no farther than in us. That new creation has already taken root because of what Jesus did. And sometimes all people need is someone who believes in them to build something new. So church, it's time. It's time that we make life more personal. You'll be glad you did, and so will the people that you make life personal for.